is CJ Arnold, and this is my wife Lisa, and this is Una.
We're really thankful to be able to gather together today virtually to prepare our hearts and our minds for Christmas. We welcome you to worship this third Sunday in Advent.
Grace and peace to you, and with Lisa and CJ, we welcome you to worship on this third Sunday of the Advent season. In the Advent wreath tradition, this is called Gaudete, or Joy Sunday, and we will celebrate the joy of this season, and our young people's message will give a little bit more detail about that. Welcome to worship. My name is Mitchell Hay, and it is my good pleasure to be the equipping pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church.
And I'm Barb Lemmel. It's my great pleasure to be with you as well this morning.
And we're gathering on a warm and gray Vermont winter day. We pray wherever you are, you might find the light of God's love shining in through the gray, through the fog, through the rain, or through the snow. We're here to worship. And I invite you, if you have your bulletin that was on our Facebook page, or you may have downloaded it, to follow. I'll be reading the regular type and our call to worship, if you could respond in the bold type. So welcome to worship, and I invite you to move into a space of worship. Here we are in our houses, Lord.
Dare we ask you to move us?
Dare we ask you to fill us?
Dare we ask you to build our souls into a home for you, Lord?
Rejoice like Mary. Dance from the depths of our souls.
The Mighty One has done great things. Holy is God's name.
God showed mercy to our ancestors, mercy to our children. God dethroned the masters and crowned the slaves.
The Mighty One has done great things. Mercy is God's name.
God shone light on the tears of the dispossessed. God turned their sorrows into dancing.
The Mighty One has done great things. Redeemer is God's name.
God filled the mouth of the child in famine. God filled the promise of saving this world.
The Mighty One has done great things. Fulfiller is God's name.
Amen. That call to worship, of course, comes from Mary's Magnificat, a call to revolution, a revolution of love, as Martin King called it, a revolution for the peaceable kingdom. And in that same revolutionary love spirit, we invite you, if you have your Advent wreath, to get ready to light the third candle of joy. And we have a litany from Marin Tirabassi. In our homes, we gather round wreaths to pray our lost hopes. Broken peace, limited joys, and love so hard to find and share in this season of coronavirus.
We affirm that our candles mean that we claim the power to call this season Advent, when God's light comes into the world and nothing can overcome it.
Last week, we lit the candles of hope and peace.
And now we light the candle of joy. In spite of missing so many things that we thought were essential to a Merry Christmas, and we invite you for a moment to reflect on what are the joy things that you're missing or not able to participate in this season? And it's even in that place of recognizing that we don't have the joys we're used to, that we light the candle of joy, knowing that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it.
God's joys ignite embers under our loss and sorrow and brighten the path toward love. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Danielle and her family are going to talk a little bit about joy. So take a listen.
Hey, guys. Hi. So hi. This week we light our third candle of Advent. Does anyone remember what the first week was?
Peace.
Peace.
Hope.
And the second week was?
Hope. I thought it was hope. Shalom.
Peace. Peace. Shalom. Yep.
Shalom.
And then this week, does anyone know what this week is? No.
Joy?
Joy. This week is the candle of joy.
I
brought a box because there's one song I think of at Christmas that has joy.
To the world.
Joy to the world. Yep. And so this box says joy to the world. And I put a bunch of things in here that brings joy at Christmas time. So what do you think we do with this?
Hot chocolate.
Drink hot chocolate. That's pretty fun. And what do we do with this?
Listen to Christmas
carols. Yep. And what about this?
Wrap presents.
We got these. What are these?
Christmas
cards. Send Christmas cards. We wrap presents. We make presents. I took this one right under the tree. We make treats, right? You guys use these things. What are all these?
Lego figures
from what?
Our
Advent calendar. Yep.
Our
and what else? What about
Lego.
This?
Ornament.
Because we decorate the house. And how about this?
Stockings.
Your stocking. So it's all these things in here.
Delicate.
Alright. So with all these things in here, it is very full. Don't you think this joy box is super full?
Yeah.
So one thing that I think of, though, when I think of joy to the world, guess what it says in joy to the world?
The Lord has
come. Let earth receive her
joy.
Yep.
To
let
the
every heart prepare Lord him room. Now, does it look like there's very much room for Jesus in here?
But his spirit can fly in there,
you think so? Well, yeah. I think the first thing we should do is put Jesus in our joy box.
Get that.
So let's take everything out.
Yeah.
And I think if we put Jesus in, we can still make everything fit. Because you're right, Jesus is present when we're wrapping presents, or when we're making treats for people, or when we're sharing a cup of hot chocolate. But we need to find a way to fit Jesus in, too. We need to have all of our hearts prepare room for Jesus. What's a way you can prepare room for Jesus?
You could, find time somewhere.
Find time to do what?
Read the Bible.
Yep. I'm not sure if Jesus loves scootering, but maybe reading the Bible would be a better way. Yep. You could read the Bible. You could find time to pray.
You could make something for somebody.
You can make something for somebody because Jesus is present in all the good we do for others. I really like that idea. All right, can we say a prayer? Dear God, thank you for all the joy in this Christmas season. Help us to remember to let all of our hearts prepare room for you so you can be present with us during this season. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Danielle and family.
She segued to Joanne.
One of the joys of this season is being able to help out, knowing we can help people around the world who are in rougher spaces than others. And one of those programs is the Heifer Project. And Joanne, you're going to share a little bit about that wonderful opportunity for us to do ministry around the world.
I am. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the third week of Advent. I just wanted to take a minute to thank everybody who's already mailed in their donations. At this point, we have already raised $800. This year, Riley and Cole have been having a blast going through the giving calendar. They've been trying to figure out how much they can get mom to pay. One of the challenges that they give you is they have asked you to count how many phones you have in your house. So in our house, not only do we still have a landline, so they decided, even though the challenge is for cell phones, we're counting our regular phones and also inactive cell phones. At the moment, I'm not sure they have been using their own piggy banks to pay for this. So they think it's funny that I'm the one paying, but I might be getting the last laugh. Just an update on things that we can get. At the moment, if we raise $200 more, we can get a pair of cattle. If we can double what we've raised at this point in time for a total of $1,500, we can get a Joy to the World gift basket. That includes 2 sheep, a heifer, 4 goats, and 2 alpacas. Potentially, we could do something completely different this year, and we could buy stoves for an entire village for $1,000. These stoves don't run on firewood. They actually run on methane gas that's harvested from animal waste. So not only are they saving forests, but they are utilizing a gas that they already have regular access to. Thank you very much for everyone who has donated already, and I look forward to seeing how much we can raise.
Thanks, Joanne.
That is very cool. Looking forward to all the good news about how our heifer project is going along.
And we're hoping we don't have to count inactive phones, because that would be a lot.
We have a basket full of them. I invite y'all to move into a quieter space of worship now. We call the opening to God time. And we'll be sharing a poem by a profoundly brave and deep poet and artist named, a visual artist named Jan Richardson. I invite you to take a deep breath in, filling your lungs with oxygen, yes, but breathe in as though it's the very Spirit of God filling you. And breathe out, yes, carbon dioxide, but also breathe out everything that is a wall between you and love, between you and compassion, between you and living fully. Breathe in, aware of the ground beneath your feet, the chair under your bottom. Breathe out, recognizing the walls that with God's help you can tear down. And listen to these words from Jan Richardson. About welcoming Christ into our lives. You can prepare, but still, it will come to you by surprise. Crossing through your doorway, calling your name in greeting, turning like a child who quickens suddenly within you. It will astonish you how wide your heart will open in welcome for the joy that finds you so ready and still so unprepared. Amen. Joanne's going to share part of the gospel reading that is underneath that poem. Share it with us from Luke chapter 1.
The gospel according to Luke. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Thank you, Joanne. And here's the continuation of that reading from verses 39 to 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped with joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And then Mary said,
"My soul magnifies the Lord.
And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior,
who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant girl.
From this day, all generations will call me blessed.
The mighty one has done great things for me.
Holy is the name of the Lord,
whose mercy is on the God-fearing
from generation to generation.
The arm of the Lord is filled with strength,
scattering the proud-hearted.
God cast the mighty down from their thrones,
lifting up the lowly.
God filled the hungry with good things,
sending the rich away empty.
God has come to the help of Israel,
the Lord's servant, remembering mercy.
The mercy promised to our forebears, to Abraham and Sarah and their children forever." Amen.
Amen.
So I love reading through scripture about whenever God or one of God's messengers asks someone to do something, there's a pattern all through the Bible, and it goes something like this. God says, "Hey, I've got good news and I've got better news. The good news is I'm your God and I totally love you." And whoever is being called says, "Okay, great." And then wonders what's next.
And then God says, "And the better news is I want you to do this thing. It's going to be amazing." And the answer from whoever it is that God or God's messenger is talking to is inevitably, "I'm sorry, what?" Followed by lots and lots of questions.
And usually God answers the questions, mostly by saying, "Look, I've got your back, okay?" And God usually says or does something to prove it.
And finally, whoever's being called is won over and they say, "Okay, I'm in." And then they go on to do amazing things that they never thought they could do.
Let's give you a couple of examples. I'll be Moses.
Okay, I'll be God.
And you can read this story in Exodus 3.
Hey, Moses.
Okay, I'm Moses. I'm out doing my day job. I'm herding sheep.
Meh.
And when I see this bush and it's burning and it's not consumed, and I go over to take a look at it, and suddenly a voice calls out my name.
"Moses, Moses, I've got good news and I've got better news. The good news is I am the God of your ancestors, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob."
"Okay, great."
"And the better news is I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt, and I want you to go and bring them to freedom."
I'm sorry, what? You know, I don't talk good, right?
I do.
You know the Israelites hate me, right?
I do.
Are you sure you didn't mean somebody else?
And Moses and I, God, argue about this for most of chapter 3 and half of chapter 4 in Exodus. And I keep saying, it's okay, Moses, because I'll be with you. You've got this.
And finally, I say, okay, I'm in. I put my sandals back on. I take my staff and I head to Egypt, where I become, if I do say so myself, a reasonably amazing leader
who I knew you had it in you.
Helps having Aaron and Miriam around too. But I bring the people out of Egypt through the Sea of Reeds into the wilderness to the Promised Land with a little 40-year hiatus in there. It takes 40 years to get through the wilderness because I'm a guy and I don't ask directions.
But I've got good news and I've got better news. That's how God calls people. And you see it all the way through the Bible. Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, Jeremiah, King David, Queen Esther. The good news is I love you. Okay, great. The better news is I have this amazing thing for you to do. I'm sorry, what? We just see it again and again.
It happens again in our story from Luke today.
Okay, this time I get to be Mary.
All right, and I'll be Gabriel because I have a really fancy halo.
There you go. My instant Mary costume.
All right, you got the instant blue Mary.
Right.
She probably didn't wear blue in real life.
That's okay.
So the angel Gabriel comes to Mary in the middle of what should have been a completely ordinary day and says, good morning, Mary. You do a spit take. Or maybe not. I've got good news and I've got better news. The good news is you are beloved by God and God is with you.
Okay, great.
The better news is you're going to have a baby. And he's going to be called Jesus. And he'll be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, and he'll sit on David's throne forever.
I'm sorry, what?
See the pattern?
There is so much that's obviously crazy mm-hmm. about what you just said to me.
Oh, I'm so good.
That I'm only going to pick the most practical thing. You know I'm not married, right? I mean, I'm engaged. I'm engaged to this really nice guy. Maybe you know him,
he's
Joseph?
A sweetheart. I've had a word with him too.
And really, and we're going to get married at some point, but there is not going to be any baby until at least 9 months after that marriage.
It's okay, Mary. God's got your back. The Holy Spirit will do this. This baby is going to be the Son of God. Mm. Oh, and you know, your old cousin, Elizabeth, who lives up in the Northeast Kingdom, who's been barren forever, God has given her a child. I know, right? And she's 6 months pregnant already. I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God. The Lord is with you. You've got this.
Okay, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.
Which is Bible speak for, okay, I'm in. We know the rest of the story. We know that Mary does, in fact, have this Holy Spirit-conceived baby. We know that Joseph, who is a good guy, sticks by her in spite of the scandal, and that together they raise this boy up to be a man. We know that Jesus preached and healed and loved, that he called men and women as his disciples, people who realized that he was this Son of God, and that after his death and resurrection, those same men and women kept on preaching and loving and sharing this good news, especially to those whom no one else loved, right up to the present, the church at its best continues to share that good news with the least, the last, the lost, the marginalized. But Mary doesn't know the rest of the story yet.
All I know is that God told me I'm beloved and has called me to do something completely amazing, to have a baby that's conceived by the Holy Spirit, whatever that means. God's promised to be with me, and that's enough.
So the first thing Mary does is go visit her cousin Elizabeth, who, as Gabriel promised, even in her advanced years, is 6 months pregnant.
And I can't believe it. I see Elizabeth, and she's got a baby bump. And I say to her, Elizabeth, this angel just came to me and said, I've got good news and I've got better news. And Elizabeth says to me, I know, right? God just said the same thing to me. And when you came in and I heard your voice, the baby in my womb started jumping. Can you believe this, Mary? Can you believe that God chose us? And then something comes over me. I don't know what it is, but I start to sing. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because God has looked on me with favor, God's servant.
This is a song that we in very fancy Latin called the Magnificat.
Because the magnifies the Lord part, right?
But really, it's a song of revolution. It's a song of high revolt.
It's just me saying, I've got good news and I've got better news. The good news is I'm God's beloved and God's done great things for me. The better news is God's going to do great things for everyone else too. God's going to scatter the proud and throw down the proud hearted, throw down the powerful and lift up the lowly. Lift up the folks nobody cares for. God's going to fill the hungry and send the rich away empty. God promises to be with us forever.
Pretty good for an unwed teenage girl.
Yeah, wow.
During Advent this year, we've talked about this kingdom or kindom of God. We've talked about its connections with Dr. King's vision of the beloved community. We've talked about true inclusivity. We've talked about our being called to be champions of peace and ambassadors of reconciliation. And that's what Mary is talking about in this song of hers. In God's realm, nobody is going to be hungry while someone else has plenty to eat. And no one is going to be a victim of someone else's power. No one is going to be the prey on whose misfortune another grows rich. God is going to take this broken, messed up, unequal creation. Beautiful, yes. Oh, so beautiful. But also full of pain and unkindness. God is going to put it all back together. God's going to repair the world. And this baby in Mary's womb, this Holy Spirit imbued baby, is the beginning of all that process. I've got good news and I've got better news, the Christmas story tells us. The good news is God loves the world so much that God decided to come live as one of us. That's good news.
And we say, okay, great. That is good news. God loves us and is born in Jesus.
And the Christmas story goes on. God says, I've got better news too. I want you, me. God wants you to be part of that holy restoration team as well. God wants you to love your neighbor as yourself so deeply that everyone in the world is cared for, everyone in the world is beloved. God wants you to be a part of putting the whole world back together. It's going to be amazing. And you're a part of it. We're a part of it.
And most of the time, I think our response is, I'm sorry, what? Right? Mm-hmm. Put the world back together? I'm not holy like Mary. I'm not brave like Moses. I'm not a leader. I'm just ordinary folks.
Which is, of course, the point of all the Bible stories.
Right.
Who's more ordinary than a shepherd guy out in the wilderness or a teenage girl or in the suburbs?
Or an older woman who's barren, or any of the other people that God calls.
Just like us. God is not put off by ordinariness. God seems to really, really like that material.
Right.
God says, come on, be my beloved people. You can do this with me. You can do this. You can, with me, create the beloved community in your church, in your homes, at your workplace, in your town. Start making the peaceable kingdom real. Take care of each other, especially those who need it the most, the beloved folk on the bottom or on the margins or left behind. Live out the love that you've discovered in me. I'll be with you. You've got this, and I've got your back.
And something happens. Once we hear that call from God, opportunities start to show up. Things start to come into our lives where we can make a difference, where we can make the world more loving and more generous and more kind, more caring for the poor and the outcast. And we find ourselves drawn in to help time and again. One way or the other, and it's different, I think, for all of us, we find our way to saying to God, okay, I'm in. With you, I'm in.
I love being a part of a faith community, both an enfleshed one here in Essex Center and a remote one, a Zoom one, in far-flung exotic places like Chicago and Atlanta. I love the conversations I have with folk who have found the places that they can make that happen, where they can say, I'm in, and want to be a part of it, whether it's helping create a food kitchen for the hungry. There's so many, just there's a bumper sticker, right? Practice random acts of kindness, which is wonderful, but I think we need more than that. I think we need to be practicing really purposeful acts of kindness and justice and mercy and compassion, not just random, but really following the footsteps of Jesus into the midst of that. And it's done in big ways and small ways. I think of how every letter and card sent to a lonely person or a shut-in is part of the peaceable kingdom. Every meal dropped off on a front porch, every kid being raised by a single parent or a couple or a village, every incarcerated person that is kept in touch with, every porch visit that happens through a storm door now.
And a mask.
And a mask. How's it going? Good. Every community gathering that gets together to plan how better to work with immigrants and farm workers for affordable housing, for the environment. Every act of caring done by our doctors and our nurses and our physical therapists and our home health folk and friends and neighbors in the midst of COVID and beyond. Every protest sign that gets painted, every march walked, every demonstration for peace, for justice, for dignity, for compassion, every act of common good and every act of uncommon good helps build up this peaceable kingdom, this kingdom of God, and makes the world more prepared to give birth to God's next thing.
And there's so many more examples. There's as many examples as there are all of you listening to us. There are as many examples as there are people in the world who find the time to be kind, to be loving, to seek justice, to be God's people in the world, who decide to let God do something amazing through them.
We hear again and again in the Bible, God saying, I've got good news.
And I've got better news.
The good news is God is just totally crazy about you. God loves this world enough to come in Jesus.
And the better news is that God wants you to love this world too. To love this world so much that you give all of who you are, all of who God has made you to be, give it all in love.
To create the beloved community. Because you know that you are beloved. It's gonna be amazing. And God's with you in this. God's got your back.
All God needs is for us to say, okay, I'm in. And with God, the adventure begins. The world, bit by bit, is put back together.
Amen.
Amen.
Before our prayer time, we invite you to listen for a few minutes to O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, played by Catherine Parker. During this time, you might want to put your prayer requests in the comment section on the side of your Facebook page. Enjoy.
Thank you, Catherine. Beautiful, as always. We are so lucky to be the recipient of your many, many gifts. Let's join our spirits together in all of the places that we are, knowing that the Holy Spirit joins us together in all the places that we are. And let's share in this prayer. In this time of Advent, we await your coming among us. O Holy One, on that O Holy Night. And we are already so tired of waiting for this pandemic to end, for a loving touch, for creation renewed, for a world where everyone is valued, for wisdom and grace in our leaders, for wisdom and grace in ourselves, in our weariness and our waiting, O Holy One, hear our deepest longing for a new heaven and a new earth, for righteousness to be our home, for you to be our home. In our weariness and our waiting, O Holy One, remind us that your kingdom is already among us, that this heaven and earth are already full of your glory, and that in you we are already at home. Make of us, O Holy One, a refuge of righteousness for all who long for home. for all who long for you. And hear as we lift these prayers to you this morning.
With Dawn, we lift up Ann Stratton, who's been diagnosed with ALS, and for Peggy White, who's recovering from pneumonia. We pray for the Sweetser Sands family.
Their
oldest daughter, a veteran, died unexpectedly on Friday. Her father is a good friend of Dawn's. Are there prayers folk wish to lift up?
So from Allison, prayers for Elizabeth, who's ill with COVID-19 at 92, and for her family, struggling with her likely death soon. With Northa, we pray that the vaccine will be shared in a way that is fair to all. With Pat, we offer prayers of strength for Anne in her struggle with ALS. With Sandy, we offer continuing prayers for her family in Connecticut, for her family member Ed Fusco, who passed away this last Saturday. His wife Hale passed on Monday, and their son John is still in hospital with COVID. With Jeremy, we offer prayers of strength and healing for members of Dana's Texas family who are ill with COVID-19. And I would lift my colleague, Joanna, who serves as a hospital chaplain, and for her mother, Josephine, who Joanna has brought to live with her from where she was living, and for their struggles and trials in this time.
We also lift up the United Methodist Church in rural Maine.
Stetson Memorial
United Methodist Church, who has been meeting throughout COVID, and the pastor has passed away from COVID.
His wife has passed away. And he has COVID. And a number of the folks in the church also have COVID. So prayers for the folks of Stetson Memorial.
We lift all this in the name of the one who taught us to live and to pray, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We have some announcements to share with you all. One is that tonight's
Advent Vespers.
Yes. What was the proper term for it? Our Bonfire Vespers service.
Right.
Because of more recent COVID restrictions, we are not going to be having that outdoor service. So we will be online at 5 o'clock tonight. The link is in the bulletin, and I'll send that back out in a separate email this afternoon.
So that won't be a Facebook Live thing.
That will be a Zoom thing.
We hope you can still come. We too are heartbroken to not be able to meet in person. But this is the right thing to do. So come to the Zoom Advent Vespers if you can.
Yeah. And you'll still be able to see people without masks on everyone's little Zoom.
Yeah, that's right.
On Monday, we'll be having our Zoom Bible study at 7 p.m. talking about the biblical concept of joy, following up our Joy Sunday. We are still making plans about what Christmas Eve is going to be looking like. Jeremy and Barb and I and other pastors are working out what services can look like, what we can do online, what we might be able to do in some kind of in-person, modified in-person pieces. So we will let you know in the next few days about what that's going to look like.
And also there's going to be a longest night service, a Blue Christmas service on that, YouTube, Facebook Live, something?
Yes, it will be on Facebook Live and YouTube available. It will be pre-recorded and it will be available, and we'll have the links to that.
What day?
We are going to be doing it on the 20th, where
so
it
do
will
you mean
be
the 21st?
21st.
The Monday,
yes.
Okay, sorry.
Monday the
21st.
Monday
the
21st.
Which is the longest night. It's the winter solstice. Right,
so we will not have our Bible study that night. We will have our longest night service at 7, and we will do that a combination of live via Facebook and showing it on Zoom as well. So we'll get the details out about that. I think that's all our stuff.
Okay. So blessed third Sunday of Advent to all of you.
And we wish you a profound sense of peace and a deep joy that will probably feel different than happiness this time of year. Joy can sustain us when the happiness feels like it may be dimmed a bit. So go in joy, go in love, in the name of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace, y'all, and go in joy.